Philippians 4, beginning in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I learned that in whatever state I am to be content, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be both full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Pastor, we look forward to this. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Boy, life sure has its ups and downs, and a lot of the downs are associated with loss, things that we lose. And as many of you know, well, I guess it would have been 15, 16 months ago, our daughter-in-law, Kim, lost a baby through miscarriage. She was 16 months along, and she miscarried. And any miscarriage is difficult, of course, but this one was more difficult than your average miscarriage in that she had been rushed to the emergency room 3 times during that 16-month period with excessive bleeding, 16 week, not 16 months. Okay. Won't be the first mistake I make today, probably. But the 16-week period. And in any event, because of excessive bleeding, they rushed her to the emergency room. The third time is when her water broke, and they had to induce her 5 times to get the baby out. And so it was a more difficult than your average miscarriage, although I think all of them are difficult. And so we were delighted on Christmas Eve, after the Christmas Eve service, to find out that Kim was pregnant again. And so Melinda and I were certainly delighted to know that. She was 4 weeks along. Things had been pretty uneventful. No bleeding or anything like that. Until about 3 weeks later. And they had to rush her to the hospital again. Excessive bleeding again. Same area, same cause. And of course our first thoughts were, Lord, don't have them go through that again. We don't want to see them to have that same pain, that same suffering that they experienced 15 months ago. But in any event, I decided that this was going to be my approach. Every morning I would wake up and I would thank God for 24 more hours in the human incubator. And I would pray for another 24 hours of safety and protection in the human incubator called the womb. And that's just how I approached it. If I thought about it during the day, I did the same thing. I thank God for X number of more hours in Kim's womb and prayed for further protection. And now that we're at the 14-month mark, things have really looked considerably 14-week month. Things are considerably better. She's not a cow, right? 14-week mark. Things are much better. She's not bleeding anymore, and we have a lot of reason to have hope that we will have another grandchild. But really, the day-to-day battles and situations like that are won right here. They're won or they are lost in what we think and what we dwell upon. And we will either be full of the peace of God or we will be full of turbulence and worry. And so the question is, how do we experience the peace of God in situations that pressure in on us? What are some things that we can do to experience the supernatural peace of God instead of being overcome by anxiety and worry? In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, we will look at a few more keys or secrets to experiencing the peace of God when worrisome things are happening around us. And I invite you to open your Bibles, if they're not already opened, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, and this morning we will just look at verses 8 and 9 of Philippians chapter 4. You may remember some of the things that we've seen in terms of experiencing God's peace. The first 13 verses of Philippians 4 are about that very theme. We looked at being able to stand fast in the Lord, staying closely attached to the Lord, so that the circumstances of life do not get between us and the Lord. And then we looked at what we can do when we face difficult people who are robbing us of our peace, try to be reconciled to them and rejoice in the Lord and respond gently even when they're not saying gentle things to us. And then last week we talked about the importance of thankful prayer, emphasis on the word thankful. And when we pray to God and we trusting him and we're submissive to whatever he wants, his peace that passes all human understanding guards our hearts against worry. Thankful prayer. And this morning we're going to focus on thinking right. Thinking right is crucial if we're going to experience the peace of God when the pressures and the low aspects of life are pushing in upon us. So how do we think about proper things? There are proper things, and there are improper things to think, are there not? Let's look at the proper things to think. Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren. And then Paul lists a number of things, qualities that we should be thinking about, things that have these qualities. Whatever things he begins are true. Whatever things are true. This is a description of the proper things that we should think. First of all, things that are true. What a great way to start. Things that conform to reality. We should not be thinking about things that have never happened, are not happening, and likely never will happen. That creates an incredible amount of worry and anxiety. And at that point, we really do become our own worst enemy. We should not be daydreaming about winning millions of dollars in the lottery or having it drop out of the sky into our house. Things that aren't going to happen. We shouldn't be daydreaming about when our kids were young and how easy it was and how cute they were. You're not going back. We need to dwell upon things that are true, that conform to reality. Because so often the things that don't conform to reality create anxiety and stress in us. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, for instance, King David, he's not the king yet, and he's being chased by Saul. Saul's persecuting. Saul's trying to kill him. And God continues to deliver David out of Saul's hands. In fact, two times, God delivers King Saul into David's hands. And David says, I will not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed, and he wisely did not strike Saul. But in chapter 27, verse 1, David gets worn down. Notice what he thinks. David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. One of these days, Saul is going to nail me. There's nothing better for me to do than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Really, David? I mean, in light of the fact that God continues to deliver you, and God even delivers Saul into your hands, in light of the fact that God has promised that someday you will be the king of Israel, really, someday Saul is going to nail you? Really, David? And that thought that did not at all conform to reality, the way things really were, really created a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, and caused David to make foolish choices. The first thing that we want to think is things that are true. Things that conform to the way things are. We go back to Philippians chapter 4. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. Noble things. Things that inspire awe and respect. Honorable things. Some things aren't bad in and of themselves. They're just frivolous. They're just frivolous. Dreaming about spending a month in an amusement park or thinking about playing video games all day. Nothing ungodly about those things. They're just not noble. They're not honorable. They're frivolous. Those thoughts won't create within us the peace of God. Finally, whatever things are just. The word just is really the word righteous. Things that conform to what is righteous or right in God's eyes. We should think about things that are righteous or right in God's eyes. We shouldn't dwell upon how we've been treated unfairly and what we could do to get even to the person who treated us unfairly, or maybe what God can do to the person who treated us unfairly. That's not just. That's not right. Those kinds of thoughts stir up within us not peace, but animosity. So we want to think about things that are just, that are right in God's eyes, that meet God's standard as outlined in His Word. Closely related to that, we should think about things that are pure, holy, untainted, things that are upright, things that are right. Impure thoughts will rob us of our joy. We'll be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and we'll be convicted by our conscience. And you can't have peace if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit and convicted by your conscience. And so it's necessary for us to think of things that are pure. Pure thoughts lead to peaceable thoughts. Very, very clearly stated in the Scriptures. For instance, in Psalm 101, excuse me, verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes, because if I look at something that's wicked or evil, it's going to affect my thoughts. And if it affects my thoughts, it's going to affect my peace. I'm going to have a lack of peace. So I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Isaiah chapter 33, I will think of things that are pure. I will look at things that are pure. Isaiah 33 verse 15. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppression, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed. This is a person who's protecting himself from evil and impure things. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given to him by God. His water will be sure. God's going to take care of that person, in other words. The person who's striving for purity, God is going to protect and provide and take care of that person. And the end result of that will be peace. Now, of course, one of the big challenges in life is the opposite sex, particularly for guys. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25, lust not after her beauty in your eyes, neither let her allure you with her eyelids. Lust not after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids, the flashing eyelids. If she gets in your heart, that kind of a girl, you will have a lack of peace in your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the classic verse, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you'll prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, including having the peace of God ruling in your heart. Romans 12, verse 2. But my favorite verse in terms of the connection between thinking purely and having God's peace is James chapter 3, verse 17. James 3, verse 17. James basically tells us to think about the things, first of all, that are pure and then peaceable, gentle, and willing to yield. If we are doing things and thinking things that are pure, we will experience that which is peaceable. They are connected. Purity, uprightness, and peace of heart, they go hand in hand. Impurity will lead to a lack of peace. Again, because the Spirit of God and our conscience will convict the socks off of us. Impure thoughts take away the peace in our hearts. just keep on going down this remarkable list. Whatever things are lovely. Lovely is a lovely word, isn't it? Lovely is a great word. It's a compound word in the Greek. To or towards plus love. Anything that moves you towards that which is loving. In other words, if we're thinking thoughts about somebody that aren't loving, we want to get even, and we're angry, as I said before, that will not lead towards peace of heart. And there's lots of examples in the Bible of that. But thinking thoughts that are lovely, towards or to love, that will lead towards peace of heart and peace of mind. We just had Valentine's Day, so let's go to the Song of Solomon. I mean, that makes sense, right? Some thoughts that are lovely. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. My beloved spoke and said to me. Notice the tense of the verbs, past tense. She is recalling conversations that she just previously had with Solomon. Okay, she's recalling it. My beloved spoke and he said to me. This is what he said. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. It sounds like spring, doesn't it? It's a springtime. It's a lovely time. The time of singing has come. Let's get out of the house and enjoy the beauty of the outdoors. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig trees put forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Such lovely thoughts about a prior conversation fills our hearts with peace, does it not? But if we're going to think about nasty things about people, we're going to have a lack of peace. Lovely thoughts about people lead towards peace of heart. He continues. He says we should also think about things that are of good report. Good report. Literally, the word means to sound well. To sound well. And the idea here is, if somebody were to read your mind, what you are thinking, would it sound well? There's a thought, huh? Wouldn't that be a scary thing? Okay, God reads all of it. He knows all of our thoughts. But if other people could hear what you're thinking, would it sound well? Would it be a good report? Or would it be something that should be changed? And then the last two are kind of catch-all. Think about things that, if there's any virtue, if they are virtuous. And the idea of that word is, you know, the virtuous woman, she, in Proverbs 31, she's the one of moral excellence. And that's the idea. Think of things that have moral excellence. There's lots of things in life that aren't bad. And we can think about them and we need to think about them, but we don't want to dwell upon them because they are morally not excellent. They're just kind of morally neutral. Neutral thoughts, day-to-day thoughts, how cute the new style of dresses are. Or how nice that model, that brand new 2020 model car looks. Or how much money I need to save to buy one of those cars. Or a number or a host of other things we need to think about because we need to live life, but we don't want to dwell upon them. The weather. Because there's a lack of moral excellence. Morally, it's okay. It's neutral. Think about it. But think about things like the character of God and the Word of God and things that have a higher level of moral excellence. And we'll experience the peace of God. And then finally, things that are praiseworthy. Things that if people knew what you were thinking, they would praise God that you're thinking that. They're praiseworthy. And then he concludes verse 8 by saying, meditate or think upon these things. Meditate or think upon these things. And if we go down to the end of verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be, that's the result of such thinking. God's peace will be with you. Solomon said it very well in Proverbs 4, verse 23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Make sure that, you know, try to think thoughts that line up with what Paul has outlined and not the opposite of those things. And God's peace will be with you. We might call it the fruits of our thought life. One of the fruits of our thought life is the peace of God. In Jeremiah chapter 6, and we know this. We know this, maybe not to the detail that I've taken us through, but we've experienced peace and we've experienced anxiety, and we know why. It's because of what we're thinking. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people." Speaking of Judah, I'm going to bring calamity upon them. Why? The fruit of their thoughts. "Because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it." When I bring calamity upon them, it will be the fruit or the results of their thinking for many years. Thinking has a way of affecting our being, our living. Now, what does this look like in real life? Practically speaking, well, there's a few different ways that we can think about the things that Paul has outlined here. We can think in this way. Let me just share a couple with you. Number one, first and foremost, it's interesting. All these characteristics, all these qualities, the Word of God has. For instance, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth." John 17, 17. God's word is true. How about just or righteous? "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." How about pure? "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Both of those are Psalm 19, 8. You can go through each one of these and you can see how God's word fits the qualities that we just went through. So we can review scriptures that we've memorized. We can meditate upon it. If we do, we will experience the peace of God. Now you say, "Yeah, but I never was good at memorizing, and I'm getting older, and it's really, really getting hard to memorize." Do I have something for you? And I stumbled upon this accidentally a couple weeks ago. As most of you know, I was sick. And I was really sick. I had the flu, and I never had the flu before in my life, but I understand why people die with the flu now. And I'm on my back, and one of the worst parts of it, besides the fever and the chills and all that stuff, was I just couldn't focus. I just couldn't think the way I normally think. I was just too sick. And so I couldn't review scriptures more than one verse, and my mind was, phew. I couldn't pray for more than 3 or 4 seconds at a time. I couldn't focus. And so I'm not only hurting physically, I'm hurting emotionally and spiritually too, because I'm not able to do the things that you normally do. So I go upstairs. I'll never forget this. I go upstairs, and it must have been the Holy Spirit. A chorus popped into my mind. A chorus. "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship." Sang that song. "Take joy, my King, in what you hear." I'd sang that song about 4 times. That was about what I was capable of doing in terms of focus. Tremendous peace. Tremendous peace. I was still hurting physically, but emotionally and spiritually, here's the principle. That's what we need, is a principle. whatever we're thinking about, whatever we're dwelling upon that's creating anxiety, and that's exactly what happens. Our thoughts create anxiety. It's not the situation, it's our thinking. Whatever we're thinking about that's creating worry or anxiety, we need to replace it with thoughts about God. Whether it's the scriptures, or whether it's thankful prayer, or whether it's a chorus. Replace what we're thinking with thoughts about God, and we'll experience the peace of God. That's the principle. Isn't it wonderful when you accidentally stumble upon something? That's exactly what I did. Think about proper things. Okay, let's go over quickly. Another thing we can do, follow the proper examples. Follow the proper examples. Verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and you saw in me, Paul says, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, follow my example. When I was with you, I taught you certain things about how to live the Christian life, and I actually lived them, is what he's saying. So follow my teaching and follow my living, and when things happen in your life, you will experience God's peace, and you will be able to rise above the turbulence that otherwise would naturally come as the difficulties of life press in upon you. Isn't that what happens? The difficulties of life press in upon us. And Paul says, just think about how I lived my life. Do what I did. Follow my example. Follow my teaching. And you will experience God's peace. In 2 Timothy, Paul has this frightful list of things. You know, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be boasters. They're proud. They'll be blasphemers. They'll be disobedient to parents. They'll be unthankful. They'll be unholy. Yada, yada, yada. And he lists all these awful things. This is the way it's going to be in the last times. How do you combat that? How do you live in the midst of that? What do you do? Verse 10, 2 Timothy 3. But you, Timothy, have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Timothy, you have followed, continue to follow my doctrine, my manner or way of life, my purpose, and the list goes on and on. Just follow my example, Timothy, and no matter how tough it gets, you'll experience the peace of God in the midst of that. You know, and worry is, I was thinking about it this week, worry is an enemy. We all do it, and it's all of our enemies. And here's why it's an enemy. It's a thief. It robs. It robs us of peace. It robs us of joy. It robs us of fulfillment. Sometimes it even robs us of our health. It's a thief. It's a robber. And we need to see it as the enemy that it is. And we want to encourage each other, not condemn each other when we worry, because my goodness, pot, kettle, calling it black, it doesn't work. We all do it, right? And so we want to encourage one another and pray for one another to beat the enemy, to win the game, because it just immediately elevates the quality of our Christian life. Let me say it again. It immediately elevates the quality of our Christian life considerably. And Paul says, think about proper things, follow the proper example, and you will have a powerful impact in our life as we do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you don't just leave us out there in a sea of uncertainty. And I think, Lord God, of so many people who don't know you personally, they live in a sea of uncertainty. Life just happens. and there's no anchor to the soul. There's no opportunity to experience peace of heart. And Lord, sometimes it's hard for us. Sometimes things in life just really shake us. And we need you. We need your resources. We need your peace. And we just thank you that you just didn't leave us on our own, but you gave us some things that we can do. Help us to win the battle, Father, in our fought life. We need to win that battle, because if we lose the battle, Lord, in our thoughts, we will lose the battle emotionally. And we want to win at that level too. So thank you, Lord God, for things that we can think, that we can replace our thinking of things that create turbulence in our heart with thoughts about you, whether it's through prayer, through the scriptures, through singing songs that exalt you. Help us to encourage one another too, Father. We're all in the same boat. Help us to encourage one another to win the anxiety battle, the stress battle, the worry battle. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.